I mentioned in the opening, this is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and I just really felt this morning that as a body, we need to stand with our brothers and sisters who this morning are being persecuted for their faith. I encourage you to get that green insert out if you have it there with you. If you didn't happen to pick up a bullet and don't have it, maybe you can share with somebody sitting close to you as we get down to the time of prayer. The opening paragraph says, prayer is the most necessary action, the greatest gift, the hardest spiritual labor, as well as the simplest cry of a loving heart. The time that you spend in prayer has an eternal impact on the lives of the men and women throughout our world. Through prayer, our world is changed. Closed doors are opened, resistant people are made receptive, leaders are put down and raised up, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is extended. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. No matter where the voice of the martyr ministers, the first request of persecuted Christians is always the same. Pray for us. The Bible says in Matthew 18:19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father. So what I'm going to ask us to do this morning is just have a little exercise where we join up in little groups of three, two, three, four, probably not more than four because we're not going to spend a lot of time in prayer. But I'd like you at this time, if you would, to identify your prayer group. Just identify your prayer group, look around, identify who it's going to be, so that as we break up for prayer, you know who you're praying with. In fact, I'm going to ask you to turn and get in your little prayer groups now, so that immediately following the clip, we can enter into a time of prayer. You're going to want to still be able to see the front of the church. Be turned in such a way that you're at least sideways that you can look forward. Now what I'd like us to do is we're going to divide this list of 16 prayer focuses that has been compiled by Voice of the Martyrs, and I'd like this section over here to focus on items 1 through 4, this section here 4 through 8, this section here 9 through 12, and the remaining 4 would be in this section over here, that when we enter into a time of prayer, I'm going to ask you to focus on those four points. Right now, I'd like to ask you to read those 4 points silently together, that as you read those points and read the scriptures that are connected, so that you're prepared to come into a time of prayer immediately after the video clip that we show. I'll give you about 2 minutes here to just read down through there. The section that you will be praying for. A number of weeks ago, I saw a video clip that was put on by Samaritan's Purse. There was a video clip of refugees coming onto the island of Greece. And as I watched that video, it just really impacted me with the cost that some of our brothers and sisters are going through right now to escape the persecution that is happening in their lands. There's no guarantee that all of these people were Christians. They're fleeing for other reasons as well. But many of our brothers and sisters are faced with excruciating persecution. And so, John Satter, would you be willing to turn the lights out? We're going to play a video clip for you, and immediately following the video clip, I'd like you to engage in a time of prayer for about 4 or 5 minutes with your group, focused on the four areas that were identified for you. You can play the clip.
The majority of refugees that arrive in Greece or arrive in Europe arrive here on this island. So these beaches are where, sometimes 60 to 70 boats will land here per day. Most of them have fled countries of conflict. They left all their belongings. Some of them have left even family members behind. They just flee for their own safety, and they flee for the hope of a better life. I mean, I can't even imagine leaving everything I know and coming to a place on a little raft, and you have no idea whether you're going to be welcomed, or you're going to be thrown in prison, or you're going to be, you just have no idea what to expect.
A lot of the moms are very visibly afraid, and to be handed someone else's child is really humbling, to like be responsible to care for them even for that brief moment.
Let's go, this nice lady. Let's go. Take care of her, please.
It was hard to see children coming off soaking wet. Yesterday we saw a boat come in with a baby who was just 1 month old on it. And I just can't imagine a mom who gets on a boat like that, that's so unsafe, with their 1 month old infant, and how afraid she must have been that something would happen. And actually, I was just fearful that they're not going to make it, because they're going to die of hypothermia before they get anywhere safe. So I think it just epitomizes the desperation that we see in this situation that we find ourselves in.
They know about the border crossings. They know about what's happening in Hungary, about getting tear gassed and about getting stopped at a border. They know about boats crashing out here. Just yesterday, a boat was lost out at sea, and people died. You know, almost every day one of these boats doesn't make it to shore.
You can tell they're traumatized by what has already been such a long journey that they've been through, and what will be a really long journey still.
I think when they land, they're just so glad to be on dry land and safe, that the reality of what lies ahead isn't really registering. So I don't think they realize that they now have several weeks' journey trying to get through Europe to their destination, and that that journey's not going to be easy.
This is Kara Tepe. It's one of the refugee transit points that the refugees wait before moving on with their journey.
She's 4 months pregnant, is that right? 4 months?
Yes.
Yeah.
And why is she afraid she might be losing the baby?
I'm just cleaning the wound. He's trodden on a nail, it's gone quite deep. The most important thing is that he goes to a pharmacy now and gets a tetanus vaccination.
She's just sprained her ankle, probably by walking or maybe when she got out of the boat.
Has she felt the baby kick yet? A flutter? Then the baby's okay.
We are the first faces that they see when they land. Probably a lot of them have never even met a Christian. When they land on this beach, we're happy that we can be here and be here as part of that first step. And be here to just show them that there's Christian people that love them. As they continue their journey along the way, they'll meet other people from Samaritan's Purse and other countries, and they'll remember us. I've never done anything like this. This is extremely special, what we're doing here.
Father, we are really thankful that we have the promise of you being the God of angel armies, and that there's nowhere that you are not, and that even this morning we can have the confidence that those who are suffering persecution have a sense of your presence, and we ask that that would continue. Just continue to commit these people to your throne and trusting you to keep a careful, watchful eye over all the things that are going on in their lives, and that beyond it all, beneath it all, there would be that sense of a firm foundation of Jesus that gives them hope, that gives them peace, and that gives them joy. In Jesus' name, amen. You can get your chairs back in line again. Well, we are really pleased to have Steve with us again this morning. Many of you are just learning to know Steve and Nola. He's the newest member of our oversight team. It's at great sacrifice that he's with us this weekend. Yesterday, his little, how many year old grandson?
10.
Little 10 year old grandson shot his first buck behind Steve's on Steve's property there, and Steve would have loved to be with him yesterday. But his higher calling brought him here, and so we bless him for that. Steve, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Steve and Nola. Thank you for their commitment to serve you and their willingness to serve us. And Lord, I just pray that your blessing would rest upon him this morning as he leads us in this service of installing Luke as the lead pastor. I just pray that your grace and mercy would fall upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Steve.
We feel blessed to be here this morning, and we appreciate each of you. I can't quite imagine the emotions that Dave and Carolyn are feeling this morning. It's probably just from one thing to the other. But I just want to say a word of appreciation for Dave and Carolyn for their faithfulness. Today I will be looking at leadership, and I'll be talking about being diligent and talking about having fervor in the ministry. And I think, Dave, you have been a great example. I know you have in my life. Dave has been to our congregation a few times, and in the near future he'll be down in our area again for some revival meetings, and I'll make contact with him. So I just really appreciate you all, and just bless you, play God's special blessing upon you as you move on to the next phase of your life. I hope it's as enjoyable as my phase right now. I've retired 2 years ago, and I'm loving life. And the few sacrifices we make in life, that's pretty minimal for what Christ has done for us. And so therefore, just thank you all for your all support for Dave and Carolyn during the years. And also we're looking forward to the same for Luke and Karen. Today I want to look at fulfilling God's call in our lives. We all have opportunities. We all have service in which God has called us to. And I hope we make that as a high priority to use our abilities. You know, in the Bible, it talks about our talents. It's critical of the person that hid his and buried it. And so therefore, today we are calling a lead pastor, but you all have gifts and abilities, and God is depending on you. You know, God doesn't need anything, per se, but he chooses to use us and our abilities and the gifting he gives us. I think other than the strength and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our involvement or our effort is what's going to determine how things turn out in our calling. We have a part to play. We can be somewhat careless of our gifts, or we can really be diligent about them. Later on in our service, I'm going to ask Luke for his commitment to be diligent in leading this fellowship, to be diligent, to be committed, and I know he is. Today I want to look a little bit at the gift of leadership, and it's found in all areas of life. No matter where you're at here, unless you're a very small child, there's something that you're accountable for. There's something that you're responsible for and has some form of leadership. If you're single, living alone, you have to take leadership roles. You have to see that you have bought your groceries. You have to see that your car is maintained. If you're a husband and wife, there's leadership that the husband gives. There's leadership that the wife gives. And so on and so on. In church committees, there has to be accountability and leadership. I want to look at Romans chapter 12 today for a little bit. It talks about quite a few things. It starts talking about the body with many members, and then it talks about the gifts, and then it talks about how that we should minister our gifts. Let me read Romans 12. I'm going to read from verse 1 through 11. I realize that verse 11 stops in the middle of a sentence, but that's where I'm stopping today. And certainly, I'm not to be speaking upon all the topics that are even in what I read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or in ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affected one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I like the illustration here given that we are one body with many members. And I marvel how God has made our physical body and how it works together. It doesn't take much to get out of whack, and we just don't do very well. It can happen with all different parts of our body. So we know how unique each member is, and you all are all special. There's no individual that is not important, just as it is in our bodies. So Paul here is saying that we should see ourselves as the body with many members. And then he goes on to say that within this body of individual members, there are gifts. And we know that gifts are important. Different roles are important. Today, we are calling Luke as lead pastor. But there are many other gifts that are also important and very significant. It works that way in churches, in other organizations, that there is leadership. A lot of organizations have a president, a vice president, a secretary and treasurer, and they all have a specific purpose. And they need to use those together for the good of the organization. In the business world, when a company wants to grow, they usually look at a company that can bring something to them. Something that can bring synergy. Something that can bring something new I worked for a company for 8 years, and then Purdue bought us in 1984, so I worked for Purdue for 29 years. But the reason they bought the company that I was working for is that we were different than they in that we made further processed ready-to-eat foods. Purdue at that time just sold mostly fresh chicken, tray-packed chicken, things like that. They realized the consumers were changing, that they wanted some things easy and with no work involved. So they bought us to bring some synergies. Then our company benefited because we had a bigger company, we had more money to invest, we could merge the marketing and sales and all kinds of things. So we brought the synergies, and that's the way it is with our parts of the church also. Synergy is the creation of a whole that is greater than the simple parts, simple sum of its parts. Synergy is the creation of a whole that is greater than the simple sum of its parts. I hope we see our fellowship here as benefiting from all the parts. And therefore, it's bigger than any one of us. For example, none of us could carry on the program of this church by ourselves. You have committees, you have mission boards, you have deacons, you have board of elders, you have board of ministries, you have the sound people, you have the musical. So all this brings together the church with many parts and many gifts. You know, the business world has learned some of this strategy from the Word. In fact, I benefited from my knowledge of the Word in business, and then my business helped me in the ministry. Where the Bible helped me in the business was that I was a corporate purchasing manager. I knew I wanted to have integrity. I knew I wanted to spend the company's money as if it was my own. I knew that I didn't want to take bribes. And all this was from my Christian experience that I would carry it over into business. Well, then the business I learned and benefited from our business is that we had much training. We had communication management. We had team building training. Team building for productivity and improvement. Coaching for performance. That sounds like business. You know, they're doing it to help make things smooth and help make more profit, get people more productive. But also, some of those things can carry over into our relationships at home, in the church, in the community. So we see how things in our gifts pull together and how synergies can pull together. And so many of these things are strengths that we can experience in our church. In verse 6, it says, "Then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." I think that is unique there. It says, here's your gift, now use them. There's a saying, when everything is said and done, there will be more said than done. And sometimes we have gifts that we're not using very effectively or not very creatively or maybe not at all. And so Paul is saying, gifts, you have gifts that vary, now use them. And so I encourage all of you, use the gifts that God has given you to benefit the body, to bring it together, to be a greater community than individuals. I'm not sure where the saying originated, but a few years ago I saw "get her done" about everywhere. I saw it on t-shirts, "get her done," on the back of a big jacked up four-wheel drive pickup with diesels in it, you know, and there smokestacks. "Get her done." Well, I knew what that meant. It meant this truck is, you know, it's going to get it done. It's going to outpull or outrun or outdo something. But so Paul's saying here, use your gifts. Get her done. Get her done. Verse 6 through 8 gives a list of some of the gifts. And that's not all the gifts. And I don't believe that it says that any of us gets all the gifts. And I don't necessarily mean that we only get one gift. So I think there's a variety. In fact, in the church, I think, for example, for Luke, I think it's the gift or the position of lead pastor is going to involve ministry and teaching and leading. And so therefore, many of you have experienced, maybe you have a touch of different gifts. You don't have to see that as just one, and certainly you don't need to feel bad if you don't have all of them. I don't think that's the intent here. It's just saying there's a variety, and they are needed to round out, to accomplish God's purpose. Today, since we are installing a lead pastor, verse 8 says, he who leads, and we use the word lead pastor, and what it says about he that leads, it says with diligence. I read through verse 11, and again in verse 11 it says, not lagging in diligence. Maybe some of us have a problem in being diligent, committed, involved. Maybe so. But anyway, it specifically says, and he who leads with diligence. There's other scripture that support that idea as well. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, being diligent in that call. Or also in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There is the idea of continuing to be diligent. There's issues in leadership, especially in churches. It is burnout. Fairly high, very significant what goes on in being a pastor. 40 to 50% of pastors feel somewhat burnout. Every month, there's 1,500 pastors that leave the office. Some for burnout, some from conflict, and some for moral failure. So I covet your prayers for Luke and his wife and family. I've often said there's a difference between a teacher and a preacher than a pastor. There are people that can be a good teacher, a good preacher, but they may lack in pastoring. A pastor is one that has his heart with the flock. Jesus illustrates that so well. He says, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And so I encourage you to be a pastor, that the people can tell that you have their back. I have to think of Psalms 23, how comforting the words of Psalms 23 is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. And that there is such a beautiful picture that is, we can be content. It's also important not only to care for the sheep, but to care for yourself. In light of the statistics, we do well to realize that we have needs ourselves as pastors. You need to find a way to refresh yourself. At times it'll be hard with the time constraint, with all the requirements and all the responsibilities. But find ways to relax. When I had my job in the pastry, which I'm still a pastor, it would do me a world of good sometimes to get home and just go on a half-hour four-wheel ride or go up to the cabin and sit there. And Dave knows where the cabin is. It's way back and nowhere, and it's not much of a cabin, but it's got a front porch. And I could go up there, and it's no electric, and there's no power lines, and there's nothing man-made that you can see if you're looking away from the cabin. And I can just sit there and think, well, God, this is just the way you made it. It's going on this way for hundreds of years. That tree there knows what it's supposed to do, and it's doing it. And this tree's doing that. And these animals are running around here, they're just doing the way God made them. And we humans We're a mess. We just don't get it the way you want us to have it. So a lot of times, just to get up there and refresh and hear the breeze and look, I think you like to fish. Well, go fishing. You don't have to bait your hook. Because if you bait your hook, you might catch something, and you have to take it off, and then you have to clean it. So just go there and hold your pole. Don't bait it. And just reflect on God's goodness, things like that. Whatever it takes for you to get a break, do it for your own good and for the sake of the family and for the congregation. You know, if we don't have a healthy pastor, a shepherd, if he don't have anything to feed us, we don't get pretty hungry. So let's pray for Luke that he will stay fresh and energized, that he can feed the flock. It's going to be important to find a good balance. I heard that as you as a congregation had some appreciation for your pastors a few weeks ago. I commend you for that. Sometimes being the pastor's wife can be a lonely place. It can be taunting. It can be overwhelming. And sometimes you won't see that, but some of that stuff's there. I encourage you. It's a two-way street. Luke needs to lead. He needs to pastor along with other board of ministry. But there needs to be a two-way street. It's a give and take. It's not just all one-sided. You can't give and give and give and give and never receive. It just doesn't work very good that way. Now, yes, we need to sacrifice and to give, but it needs to go both ways. I commend you for the times you reach out to your pastors or others in the ministry here. There's a lot that goes on behind the scene. I don't need to tell you that. If you're ever on a committee or on one of these boards, you know it's a lot that goes on behind the scene. And that's the way church life is, and that's okay, but there is a lot that goes on. There's a lot of time involved. There's a lot of prayer involved, and so on. Diligence is not only to lead. We need diligence in any area of life. You're not to be a very good employee if you're not diligent on the job. You're not to be a very good whatever if you're not putting some time and energy into it and being diligent. In the book of Revelation, it has some thoughts to seven churches. And to every one of the churches, at the end it says, he who overcomes, or to him that overcomes, receives something. Go back here and read that sometime. At the end of each church, to him that overcomes, I will give this. I will give to eat of the manna. I will give this. I will give that. But the key there is overcoming. We need to be faithful. We need to hang in there. I was reflecting upon a pastor that I knew when I was younger. And he would say often, I've probably heard him preach maybe a dozen times or something, but I don't know if he said it in every sermon or not, but he'd say, keep on keeping on. That might have been his closing remarks, I don't know. But he was saying is that, you know, this is a long-term commitment. It's not just here today and gone tomorrow. We're in this, and we're in it together. And we all have to be overcomers. It doesn't say to the churches, seven churches, well, the leaders need to do this or the leaders need to do that. It's talking to the church in general. It's talking to the body. It's talking to all of us that we need to overcome. We need to be overcomers. So we need to be diligent in our commitment. One needs to be diligent in his study and in his prayer. Just as Dave said, to the number one request from the persecuted church is pray for us. And I hope that you feel that call as well for yourself and for your leadership. Pray for them. It's needed. God answers prayer. You know, it says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent. It don't, you know, to me that means that you're invested. You're Think about what you're saying, your intent. It's not just a one-time deal. The fervent prayer of a righteous person merits much. So I pray that you are praying, church, and you pray for your leaders. Pray that he can rightly divide the word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, the King James says, study to prove thyself approved. Some translations say, be diligent. Others say, do your best. But it's important that we study to know how to apply the scripture. You know, you don't want to take it out of context and have to say something it doesn't mean, or you don't want to twist it to accomplish a specific thing, agenda that you have. But you want to rightly divide the word. How God intended for us to understand it. In verse 11, it says, not neglecting in diligence, fervent in spirit. And I want to challenge each of us to be fervent about our Christian walk. Fervent has the idea of to be hot, to be boiling with heat. You know, from time to time I hear someone that they're on fire for the Lord. I think we should hear that more often, that when people are fervent, they believe in it, they're committed. If you would be in some third world countries, or if we'd be in Syria this morning, we'd either be fervent or we wouldn't be a Christian. Because over there, you're either in or you're out. And it's a sacrifice. It might be life or death. And if you were lukewarm, you'd say, wait a minute, I'm not going to go there. It's not for me. So maybe we can learn from our brothers and sisters that are suffering the persecution to be fervent in spirit. Having zeal, show emotions, be enthusiastic. Are we enthused here this morning? I hope we are. You know, I sense a nice spirit. I enjoy the worship time and all this. Dave commended you all on many, many things, and I appreciate that. But, you know, we still have to continue. We can be careless. We can drift away. We can become lukewarm. And all these are things that we need to guard against. We need to guard against becoming lukewarm. We should be diligent in our Christian commitment, because what God has for us, he has for us. And what he has for us, if we don't do, will not get done. Because what he has for you is for you. And what he has for me is me. And so therefore, the call that we have, the position in life we have, the opportunities we have, no one else has exactly the same thing. So we all need to be diligent of what God has called us for. Because if we're not, it won't get done. Now, that doesn't mean the world's going to fall apart. That doesn't mean that the church won't go on. But for us to be effective, we need to be fervent and diligent in the call that God has given us. I want to close by reading some from 2 Peter. It challenges again. 2 Peter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 5. I realize that there's some things that were said before. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. But also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old ways. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faithfulness yields in the abundance of everlasting life. Let us bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you have called us to be a body, And as been mentioned, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially in their suffering. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us different gifts and to lead out and to minister and to teach. And Lord, help us to be faithful in these callings. And I just pray now for this congregation. Thank you for them. Thank you for Luke and Karen and their family. And we pray now as we give Luke this calling, this charge, that you may receive the honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask Karen and Luke to come forward.
Is this thing on? It's okay. I'm probably more relaxed than Luke and Karen. Of course, I'm not taking this commitment or this call, but I do have a few questions to ask them and ask for them to respond, and then I do have a response I'd like for the congregation to give, and I will read that for you, and hopefully you can stand to support them. Brother Luke, you have been called of the Lord in this congregation to serve as lead pastor and a minister of the Word of God. Will you accept this charge in all sincerity and earnestness as a call from the Lord, promising to give yourself to this work by the grace of God?
I will.
Will you in this office seek to preach only the Word of God in its purity, to defend its doctrine as outlined in the covenant of the New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship? Will you endeavor to evangelize the lost of this community, to teach and shepherd the believers, visit the sick, comfort the sorrowing, to rebuke those who err, dealing with each individual in love and gentleness as Christ's under-shepherd?
I will.
Karen, I also have a question for you. Sister Karen, do you acknowledge and share in this call which Christ and the church have given to your husband? Do you promise by the grace of the Lord to be his helper and encourager to your husband in his work?
I do.
You've heard their commitment, and we appreciate that and the willingness to serve this congregation. Would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, it's with humility that I do stand before you here this morning. I recognize one of the things that I'm really in touch with is my humanity. And I realize that in that humanity, there will be times I'll leave you down. And my prayer for you is that you will be able to embrace the scripture that says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall lead your paths. And what I really desire for the congregation is to be able to understand that your confidence should not be in me, but that your confidence be in God Almighty being able to move through me to lead you. That's what I really desire for you. As we look at taking this here position, there's a great team of guys that I have to work with. I am excited about that. And I believe that for the future, God has something planned for us. And again, I want you to know my cell phone is always on. Use it. And some of the details of my time and stuff are still being worked out. But my phone is always on, and I want you to use it. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Karen?
I also want you to know that my desire is to stand by Luke in this calling, and I feel called as well to be his support, to be his helpmeet, and also to support you. And I know the God that goes before me. And I know that he is faithful. And so it's on that I rely.
I might take his time just to share a little bit the journey that God took me on in getting me to this place where I was able to say yes to what he wanted me to do. One of the things I struggled with was a scripture in Timothy that says that I should desire the office. I said, Lord, how do I answer that question? Desire the office? And God kind of took me on a journey of scripture and things, and I heard the words that he spoke to Peter, and how he asked Peter, "Are you willing to do you love me? Feed my sheep." And I felt like God was saying, "Luke, do you really want to feed my sheep?" I said, "Yes, I do. That's, you know, I desire to do that. Do you want to lead them in righteousness and holiness?" I said, "Yes, I do want to do that. I have a passion to do that. I have a desire to do that." And it seemed very clearly that God said, "That's what I'm asking when I ask if you desire this office." And that was when I was able to come to a point of being able to process in my mind and accept and say, "Yes, Lord, I will do whatever it is that you have for me to do." And so it is my intent to be faithful to that and to lead and to guide and to feed and to be there to shepherd. I want to do that for the sake of the Father.
Thanks for adding that, Luke. I think that personal testimony is very real and touching. And that's many people have different calls, and it's good to hear that call in your life. Yeah. I would like to ask the congregation to respond. I have something I'd like to read here. Maybe I should read it twice so that you hear it clearly. And then if you can affirm this statement, I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet. So I'll read it twice. Will you receive this brother as your pastor? Will you promise to give heed as he preaches to you the word of God, to accept from him instructions, counsel, and rebuke as a messenger of Christ? Will you pray for him, receive him to your homes, and deal with him in love, kindness, and patience as being a man? I'll read it again. Will you receive Brother Luke as your pastor? Will you promise to give heed as he preaches to you the word of God, to accept from him instructions, counsel, and rebuke as a messenger of Christ? Will you pray for him, receive him into your homes, and deal with him in love, kindness, and patience as being a man? If you'd like to make a commitment to that commitment, to that promise, I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet. That looks great, doesn't it? Yeah. So, thank you a lot for your commitment, and may the Lord bless you. You may be seated. At this time, I'm going to ask Dave to come forward. We don't have a special prayer, laying on the hands of Luke and Karen.
Okay, I'm going to have him kneel. Yeah, why don't you just kneel?
Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for your church, for Jesus who came and who instituted the church, and for the picture of the church being your bride, and the hope that we all have that there's going to come a day when your bride will come home to be with you forever. And over the years and down through the generations and centuries, you have raised up leaders to lead your church, to be under shepherds, recognizing you as the great shepherd. And Father, I'm thankful for Luke and Karen, and I'm thankful for the gifts that you have given to them to care for your church. I pray for Luke just now as he has accepted this calling. I pray that the anointing that has rested on me for these last 26 years to right now be transferred to Brother Luke. I ask, Lord, that you would open up his spiritual understanding to be able to see the purposes and the vision that you have for this part of your bride. I pray that you would undergird him with courage as he senses your calling and may need to go to tough places, that you will build his conviction, that you will cause him to sense underneath him the everlasting arms. I pray for compassion for Luke as he is dealing with us who, like he, are also humans, that you would give him the ability to truly be Jesus to us and to care for us in compassion and mercy and humility, while at the same time being willing to call it what it is. God, I pray for the team that is around him. I pray that you would continue to give them the blessing of discernment, to know how to be supportive, to know how to feed in to his ministry. I pray for spiritual protection for Luke and Karen, that as the enemy would want to bring distraction, I pray, Lord, that you would cover him and her and their family and everything that is connected to them, and that you would frustrate every plan that the enemy would have to bring some kind of distraction, some kind of discouragement, some kind of misunderstanding. Father, I just come against it in the name of Jesus and ask that you would tear it down and cause it to become absolutely devoid of energy. God, you have demonstrated your faithfulness in so many ways over the years. Not only over my years, but over the centuries. You have demonstrated your faithfulness, and I know it's not going to change now. And so it's just wonderful for me to be able to know that that holy anointing now rests on Luke, and that you will continue to empower that anointing to build your kingdom. I also pray for Karen, Lord, as she has committed herself to be Luke's helpmeet. God, that also is a special anointing. And I ask, Lord, that that anointing would fall upon her right now, and that she would be given the discernment to know how to stand with Luke, to know what Luke needs to hear, and to also know sometimes when there's ideas that she has that maybe the timing isn't right. God, that you would just cause her to be able to be all that she desires to be in the life of Luke and in the life of this congregation. God, I just pray that as Luke and Karen continue to make themselves available to this congregation, and as there is communication that goes on between them and this congregation, I pray that you would bless that communication, that there wouldn't be the misunderstandings, that Luke's heart and Karen's heart and their intent of what they're communicating would be understood by the people of the church. I again come against it in the name of Jesus every time Satan would want to cause misunderstanding, that you would tear it down. Lord, it's your church, and it's a joy to be able to trust you to lead it, and we look forward to how you do that through Luke and Karen. I bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Brothers.
I trust that you were praying with Brother Dave. We can say amen to the many points. God, we trust you. We trust you for what you're doing in this congregation. We trust you for what you're doing in the world. Our hope is in you. Amen. As was in the worship, if we only looked around us, we would feel so inadequate, we'd be fearful in seeing the way the world is. But Lord, we trust you that you will accomplish what you have said. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are preparing a place for us. That we thank you that your desire is for us to be with you. We trust you, Lord, that you will enable Luke. As you have called, we know that you will go before him. We know that you will provide in many, many ways. I pray for Luke and Karen and for their children and grandchildren and their in-laws. And I pray for this church, Lord. You pray to the Father that we would be one as you and the Father are one. And Lord, I pray for unity and oneness in this congregation, in this fellowship. Lord, I pray that Satan will not be able to get his foothold in any situation or circumstance that would cause disruption. Lord, there's so much time and energy spent in dealing with issues that take away from our energy to be effective in preaching the gospel, of being a witness, of having a joyful testimony. Lord, I just pray, if there are circumstances here that need healing, Lord, that you'll bring healing, that you will work in all of our lives to help us to desire that oneness, that we can be an example in this community, that this church may have a name, that they love each other, they love their communities, they love you, they desire your will to be done in their life. Lord, I pray that throughout Luke's ministry, that you will receive the honor and glory. Lord, that you will be the one that exalted. And help us, as John the Baptist said, we must take a lesser role, but we must exalt our Christ. Thank you for this day, for this opportunity, and just bless Luke and Karen as they move forth, and that we will give you the honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, please make them to be a sanctuary.
Your appreciation and your support personally, as you are now.